Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord. We are so glad you joined us on our Words from the Word. I'm your host, Overseer Paulette, and I am looking at our lesson for today of prayer, powerful, that brings supernatural results. I'm looking at our author, Mike Shears, and we're in our chapter 6, I believe, of the book, and we're looking at the prayer of Jehoshaphat. The prayer of Jehoshaphat. So, I am glad that you are here with us today. We are just rejoicing in the glory of God, in His mercy, and in His grace. I want to read this scripture that was such a joy for me and our churches in the month of July, and the theme and the declaration is it is the month of joy. And so Psalms 100 of the Living Bible says, "Shout with joy before the Lord, O earth. Obey Him gladly. Come before Him singing with joy." Try to realize what this means. The Lord is God. He made us. We are His people, and we are the sheep of His pasture. Go through His open gates with great thanksgiving. Enter into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is always good. He is always loving and kind. And His faithfulness goes on and on and on each generation. And I know that's the psalm that we have spoken often, and a lot of us have memorized it. But when I read it in the Living Bible, it was such a message of hope and peace, but it was also a message of promise and a message of power. And it is in line with our month of July. And I realized that in this book, one of the things that are always pivotal in the PowerPoint is a acknowledgement of God. It's and we're at point number 7, but out of the 10 points, but it's the remembering of what God has done. It's establishing in your spirit what the Lord is all about in the earth realm, and it's asserting that He is King, and that you're saying it and you're declaring it is clarifying what God already has done. And that's what this psalm does. And it does it in such a way that it causes us to stop. Wait a minute. You know, Lord, help me to really realize what this means. And realizing what it means will realize and cause me to understand the power behind this thought, the power behind this point of acknowledgement and of clarifying and of establishing and of reminding God of, I know what you've done, and I'm rehearsing in my mind and in my prayer and in my heart and in my spirit those things that I have seen you do and the result of them, but also the source of them. And the fact that because of who you are, they still exist, and they still exist on my behalf as well. And so we hear the psalmist sharing this place where our minds should be when we pray with this level of joy and thanksgiving. It gets God's attention. And that was one of the things we wanted to make sure we were able to do, was to get God's attention. So somebody's phone needs to go on mute, or I'll help you there. There you go. And so as a result, we want to get that position, that understand that position of Psalms 100, that position of giving thanks. There's nothing more more valuable, I'll say, to someone like to a or someone a spouse when you experience the appreciation that another one has for you. It really warms your spirit. It causes you to want to do more and more and more. And God is no different. But when we acknowledge Him, when we acknowledge who He is and what He's done and how He's done it and who He's done it for and how long He's done it and how powerfully He's done it, then it warms Him that we know that and that our relationship with Him warrants Him doing supernatural things. Because the more we require, require of God, then the more He's going to give us. So, you know, when you ask for the little story, you know, you ask for, you know, a car, He gave you a car. You know, you ask for a house, He gave you a house. You ask for, you know, have the blessings of heaven. And you go, okay, now somebody knows the power that I really have, and they appreciate me. And then He, if we will, He shows up and He shows out, and He does these powerful supernatural things. And so when we looked at Jehoshaphat, he was in a place where he had to acknowledge his own frailty, his own inability. And a lot of times that's our problem. I was reading with PowerPoint number 5, and it shares with us that Jehoshaphat in his prayer says, "You are you not our God?" And so that's acknowledging, again, the special relationship that Jehoshaphat had with the Creator. He is not just God in general sense. He is their God, a personal and a committed sense. In other words, you know, you have covenant with us. You're not just some people or something that you created and walked away from, but you created and attached yourself to it through your covenant. And I know about this covenant. It's good. We got to know what promises are ours. We got to know what these covenants in the Bible are. Remember, there are 9 of them. And remind yourself from time to time, because what that does, it reminds Satan, first of all, that you know. And when you put that knowledge in front of you, Satan can't do nothing with you. He cannot deceive you. He cannot deceive you. And so he speaks of this covenant relationship and a sharing of burdens and battles. I love that, because when you're in a relationship, you don't just share the good things. You share all things. And so it says, "Are you not our God?" is a way of saying we belong to you. Therefore, our battles are your battles. And so when I read that and I thought, how often we don't really give our battle to God. We keep holding on and trying to have the control of it, or trying to come up with the answer for it, or trying to come up with a solution to it. And we keep trying different things. We don't just give it to God. What Jehoshaphat does is say, "There's nothing I can do. And ain't no need of me trying to gather up some men, because I'll never have enough to fight these armies. There's no need of us trying to figure out what weapons we're going to use and go to an arsenal and go buy this and try to get this and try to be equipped and do this. And none of us but to fall on our knees and look to the living God." And that's a total surrender. That's that place the beginning of the supernatural, is that total surrender and submitting, but more surrendering. And that's the part I think that we may have the most difficulty in, is realizing I am nothing. I can do nothing. And so often in our I'll say religious training, you know, we are taught, you know, I can do all things in Christ, and, you know, nothing is, obviously nothing is too hard for God, nor is it impossible. But we don't translate it properly, because it is saying we, and we can. We can definitely do all things. But we have to remember in Christ. That means we have given up all of our effort. We've given up effort, and we've surrendered to Him. I am nothing. I am here. Your will be done in my life. And that's really just not what we're a place that we often find ourselves. We find ourselves, well, let me try this, or let me do this. And some of the things, it's like, well, as a Christian, aren't I supposed to, you know, stand firm and, you know, but and we are firm on the Word of God, which requires us to understand and know the Word of God, which requires us to have this very personal, intimate relationship with Holy Spirit. It requires us to have the ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. It requires us to have a spirit that is surrendered to what He says. And it also requires us to have a hope and a confidence in the fact that it is Him talking, it is what He is saying, and what He says He will do. And that requires us to believe the report of the Lord. And how many times I believe the report of the Lord? But how many times at that point are we still emotionally affected by the report of the Lord? The report of the world, just the report of the natural, and we don't see it, the power of the report of the spiritual. And so it says, do we really give it to God? And I believe that needs to be one of the first steps of our going to the Lord, and not just in bad times, but in good times as well. Do we really give our good times to God, or do we just consume them on our own, and then we turn to God when things become negative? But do we include Him in joy and rejoicing, as the psalmist said, every moment, because He is there, and just because He is there, not because He did any particular thing, but because we acknowledge Him, He is established, we've rehearsed in our minds the things that He's done in the past, we remind Him of those things, we even clarify it. It says Jehovah's Fat again clarifies that God already possesses all necessary power. And the word power means both authority and ability to conquer the enemies. He has seen this happen with David. He says, therefore, we can effortlessly overthrow any earthly thing that dares to resist His will. And that's a very powerful concept to embrace. That's a very powerful thought to clarify to your spirit, let me explain something to you. That whatever happens, it says, in your hands is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. And so, again, this causes us to do a couple of things. We have to position ourselves in Him. We have to position ourselves in Him. It's like the vine and the branch, and you can't you cannot abide off or outside of your connection with the true branch, because the true vine, because the branch would wither. Everything that it needs is inside of the true vine. And so that's where this position that we have to understand, and we have to clarify this self, this thought to ourselves. So let me explain to you, you know, that God possesses all necessary power. And I love that defining power as having both authority and ability, because you can often have the authority, but you don't have the ability, which is generally our position, and all of it comes through our connection to God and His Holy Spirit and His precious Son. And so when we clarify that to our spirit, it's setting our spirit, you know, let me set you in order. This is how this is supposed to go, okay? Because this is the position that we have surrendered and submitted to. and that is through the authority and the power of God. And so, as Jehoshaphat, and maybe we should just revisit his prayer, just as a reminder, as to what our lesson is focused on. And we had learned that Jehoshaphat was the son of Asa, and he was one that pleased the Lord in the way he handled his dynasty and his kingship over Judea, and that his son took it to another level, and he tore down all of the high places, and he honored the word of God. He was zealous for true religion. He had a zeal and a fire and a passion for truth and truth in the religion. He loved the law, and he passionately sought God in all things and inspired in his ability to believe, and that is that inspired his ability to believe and act upon the prophetic word of the law, Lord. And so we see here that this is what sets the stage of the heart that offers a prayer unto the Lord, gets God's attention, and gets supernatural results. He was zealous. He had a passion for true religion. He was not deceived, nor was he trying to satisfy itchy ears or please man. He sought passionately all things concerning God. He was a lover of the law, which helped him understand what things were of God and what things were not, because he studied, and he didn't just study. He loved the law, and so he looked for those things that were in line and in harmony with the word and the law, the Bible of God. And when these things are present, and they will empower our ability to believe and to act upon the prophetic word of the Lord. And so when those things are true to you, true for you, true about you, then it causes you to be able to easily receive, okay, whatever word the Lord has for you. And remember, we looked at the word as the Rhema word and the Logos word. All the promises that God has in the written word. And remember, there was a total of over 7,000. I mean, actually, 7,487 promises so far that they've counted in the word of God, in the Bible. And all the living word promises he has given to us personally. And so those are the things that we have to believe and then act upon. And in order to believe them, we have to know what they are. In order to act upon them, we have to have that power and that authority, power and authority, yep, that comes only from God. And to understand that and to know that will cause us then to surrender and to submit to the voice of God and to the will of God in our lives, even seeking it. Because remember, one of the things he did, he passionately was seeking God. And that's looking for God in all the right places and looking for God in all the places that you find yourself, and then acknowledging his presence in that, his touch on that, and his authority as it relates to that. And as you see that and seek that, then you're able to have a confidence in you, because that is who you are in relationship with. That's a part of your DNA now because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so as we were going to read the prayer, okay? So the prayer, okay, it says how, okay, a lot of enemies around King Jehoshaphat were jealous, and they were angry even with his success. And your enemy is going to be angry with your success and with your position, and as they witness the grace on your life, and as they witness the positive things and the powerful things that are happening on your behalf, they will be jealous about that. And the enemy will always try to convince you that he is more powerful. And yet it says, however, the greatest peril that was surrounding Jehoshaphat only caused him to, I love it, to fear and to set himself to seek the Lord. There he goes. He is seeking the Lord. He says, and then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judea and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord. He stood there. He went and stood in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwelled in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. Now, here are the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Now, here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of our possessions, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know who to do, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Now that prayer got the attention of the Lord in heaven, and he brought a victory that was beyond our understanding. But he caused them not to get their weapons, but to get their worshipers. And their worshipers went before them, and in their praying and praising, hundred psalms, they confused the enemy so bad that the enemy destroyed themselves. They didn't have to do anything but praise the Lord. And that is such a perfect example of what our lives are to be and to look like. Just praise and worship, and the Lord will cause your enemy to scatter. He said it, he promised, he did it before, he's been doing it, and he will continue to do it, because he is a man, he's not a man that he should lie. And he keeps his promise for eternity. I love the other psalms they made reference to, 136 psalms, where he said, and his mercy endureth forever. He keeps his loving relationship with us forever. And so we can, that's something, as I say, you could take that to the bank. Okay, he owns the bank, actually. And so it gives us that confidence that we don't have to fear, you know, what can man do to us. We don't have to, because we are in this relationship with the power of powers, the authority of all authority. And so these are the points that Jehoshaphat counted on, had confidence in, and as he reminded God of what he had done historically in the relationship with Jehoshaphat and his family, and as he established that God was, you know, let me declare this, are you not God in heaven? And that's almost a dare, you know, aren't you God? And I'm sure God, oh yes, I am God, and you know this, and you have established it in your heart. You know, that's even telling your heart, don't you know that this is the God of heaven? And so he asserted that God is actually the king of all the kings. All these kings, these three Gentile kings were coming against his army. But Jehoshaphat, as he shares with God, is saying, you are the king of all these kings. In other words, you rule over them. They can't do anything outside of your monarchy. They appear to be sovereign, but they are not the most sovereign God you are. He declares God's authority on earth. And then he clarifies that God already possesses all necessary power. And I love the part where he also acknowledges the fact that what we have is not even ours. It's yours. You gave this to us. So they're messing with your stuff. Okay, and whose arms are long enough to fight with God? No one. And so it's like, this is not so much our battle, this is yours, because it's for your promise. And he rehearsed before God something he had already supernaturally accomplished in the past. So he said, you know, you drove these people out in the first place. Now, even though he told them not to destroy these three places, and now these places are coming up against them, but I believe that's because God knew they would, and it would cause Israel to make a stand. You know, not saying, oh, God, this is your fault, because we could have killed them, you know, before, and da-da-da-da-da. No, we did what you told us to do, and this is the result of it. And God is letting them know this, yes, so that I can demonstrate to you who I am for you. And what you can rely on, so that you can see my promises live, as you no longer have to fight your battle. The battle is not yours, but it is the Lord. And the Lord can handle all of his battles. And then we get to point number 7. He said he gave to the descendants, you gave this to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever. And so here he's reminding God of his faithfulness, how it's forever, and how this is the family of the one you love, and this is the family of the one you promised these things to. And so he's reminding God of the commitment that God had already made. He says that it is also effective to remind God of commitments he has already made, because as far as he is concerned, those promises are a done deal. And so Jehoshaphat brought to God's remembrance the commitment he had made many, many times before. For instance, right after Lot split off and settled in the land of Sodom, God spoke to his uncle Abraham, saying, lift your eyes now and look for the place where you are, eastward, northward, southward, westward, for all that land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. This wasn't just a future hope. It was a past tense fact. The land belonged to them, period. And so excuse me, this Jewish nation trying to come up against it would not prevail. And when we look at it even today, God said that land belonged to Abraham's seed forever. And so no matter what they do over there in the Middle East, and no matter what line they want to draw in the Gaza Strip and the this and the that and the other, God has said that is the land of the descendants of Abraham, and then that land forever. And then here we can even, just putting a little pin there, realize that part of the confusion in the Middle East right now, we want to remember that Abraham had a son, but he had two sons. And because of, I'll say the error, where Hannah gave her handmaiden to Abraham, and she, the handmaiden had the son of, Ishmael. So there was Ishmael, and then there was Isaac. And so, I think Ishmael and Isaac. Yeah, anyway. And so that's who's at odds now, because the Ishmaelites are part of the people that are saying the land belongs to us because, hey, we are the descendants of Abraham. And the Israelites saying, no, it belongs to us because we are the rightful seed of Abraham. And so we can see how our family decisions, we can see how our decisions affect generations to come with confusion and dysfunctionality and constant turmoil in their spirit. We're just stirring up this hate, just as Ishmael's mom felt about Hannah. She just hated her, and yet she was not the, he was not the promised seed, and God made that clear. So we have to understand all of that, the dynamics of a thing, and in understanding, avoid us participating and things that will bring about this kind of dysfunctional family environment. In this day and age, we pray for the mountain of the family, and the family has become, you know, so, I'm not even going to call it, they call it blended, but just so scattered in its values and in its relationship, that you can get confused trying to figure out the relationship of one child to another just because of the dynamics of the parents. And so we want to have that understanding, passion, our prayer as relates to the influence upon the mountain of the family, so that truth will never, because it won't, the truth will prevail. And this kind of confusion and turmoil will cease. And we won't have this, always this division, this fighting. Well, this is, that's your mama, but that ain't your daddy, or that's your daddy, and this my mama. And that kind of thing that just sometimes brings in the forefront so much anguish. And a lot of times it's an inner hurt, and it's an inner pain, and it is an inner a wound that we often minister through because we're not really aware of the root of that thing that has that we've guarded, that our bodies and our minds and our spirits naturally guard, because it's such a tender area. It's such an area that actually was not in line with the will of God. And so as a result, it is an area that the enemy can use to tear us down. But we have to be mindful, and we have to be aware of the truth, because he said he would forgive. He would forgive. Okay, and so then it says, nevertheless, whenever you find God making a pledge, you also find the enemy attempting to counter the pledge, to render it null and void. Surely that's why Jesus warned, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. God anointed prayer warriors must be forceful, violent in faith, in order to successfully size God's promises and see them fulfilled. And that's what we were sharing just about the mountain of influence in the family. It says we must, like Jehoshaphat, have the mindset that these things already belong to us, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Then we will pray as if peace, joy, righteousness, strength, healing, and deliverance are already credited to our account. And this is where you'll find this decree and declare that the prophet is bringing before the church in this season. Decree and declare, say it. This divine power was given to us for all things pertaining to life. We have but to decree it and declare it. He shared with us that this is the year of the mouth. Our mouths will declare a thing, will decree a thing, and the Lord will bring it to a manifestation. It's already ours. It's all, everything pertaining to life and godliness is already ours. And so this godliness is, we can live a God-fearing life. Timothy came up with a song, and I wish he was here to give me the right words, but in his song, he was saying that the earth was full of godless souls, just godless souls, and how they're just walking around, and some are in the church that because they relied on tradition and the words of others and not the relationship of with God and the word of God. And so their souls are godless. And yet we have been given all things pertaining to life and godliness. And so we have to claim it. We have to speak and declare it. You have to say it. Sometimes you say a thing convincing yourself. Yeah, it's true. And so you say it and you say it and you say it and you say it. And then it comes to pass because we have been given this divine power. And that power is not only the authority, but it is also the ability. And that ability comes from our relationship with the Holy Spirit. So his action step is prophesy your inherited rights. Speak and declare the word of God that's on your life from the Rhema word as well as from the Logos word. So remember, you have to place yourself in a position to receive a personal word of the Lord. And oftentimes this happens as we gather together in unity and in worship to God, and the Lord will come with a word, a personal word for those that are there. And it is our word to claim. It is our inheritance. It is a promise that's being given to us. It is a hope that's being handed to us that will encourage us to stand. And so this is the things that we want to learn to incorporate in our breathing in every day, not just on Sunday or when on Wednesday or when we gather, but when you wake up in the morning, decree and declare. I love the morning prayer. I love it. At 5 o'clock. And for me,
Hello, did we lose Overseer?
I can't hear.
I think we lost him.
Yeah. Huh? Is it a phone?
Yeah, I think she dropped. So she definitely said a lot of things to us on this morning. We can kind of dialogue until she comes back in with all that she was saying. I especially put a footnote or put a note in the fragmented family, and you know how the fragmented family should look, especially in the African American community, and then talking about our having the authority and what we're supposed to do as far as Jesus Christ and our authority is concerned. So just give me some feedback on what you heard from her on this morning.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Apostle.
Oh, there you are.
No, just keep going, keep going, keep going. The enemy took my, I don't know where it went, but I thank somebody for telling me we don't hear you. But go ahead, Apostle. Answer the Apostle. Amen, amen.
Good morning. You know, I was just going to say, with the authority and ability equaling power, that that's crucial in this time that we have this opportunity to fine-tune some things, develop some things, learn some things, you know, figure out how to do some things differently. So I think a lot of times we understand that we have the authority. We feel like, you know, we've been validated as clerics, but the ability. So I think this time of being kind of on a lockdown of sorts is a great opportunity for us to kind of move in a different kind of direction intentionally.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking, too, when she was talking about that authority and that ability, you know, how do we move past our own shortcomings or our own short mindset to understand that when we move in the authority, it's really not us moving in the authority. It is the anointing and the innate ability of God that moves through us. But we have to set foot. We have to move. We have to do in order for that to be ushered up in us. And so if we just sit back and rely on our ability or look at what we feel like we can or cannot do, we'll never reach the full potential of our authority and our authority being in God. You know, I could go on that one. But so getting to a place in God where when we see the ability of, when we see the confirmation of what God is doing in us, moving outside of and saying, okay, now it's time for me to set foot and begin to move out in the authority of which God has given me. Because of that type of authority that we're talking about from a spiritual aspect only comes from God. It's never going to come from man. You can't go to enough schools to give you the authority that is given by God. You know what I'm saying? Remember in the New Testament when the disciples were endowed with the Holy Spirit, those that were around them, they could see that they were unlearned men. You don't even have an education, you know. But they recognized the authority and the anointing of the Holy Spirit on their lives, and they had to, how can I say it? I'm going to say bow. They had to bow. They had to give room for that anointing of authority that resonated on their lives. And so when we stop looking at within ourselves and start moving in the authority of who God is, I think that's why the names of God are so important, because it allows us to understand the power and the effectiveness of who God is in you. And when we allow that God to resonate and enlarge itself on the inner of ourselves, then that authority will flourish and it will flow in our lives. Thank you, Emma. I appreciate the time.
Amen, amen. This is a sharing. This is a Friday Fellowship of Learning. And I love it because you led us into point number 8, which says, after he prayed this prayer, and they dwelled in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster come upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before your temple in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And so it says, whenever we find God's temple, we're talking about us. But the important thing is that it says you'll find his presence and his name. And as you were sharing, we have to know that name that is in we're in the presence of for that situation, whether it's judgment, pestilence, sore, or famine. Every one of those have a specific power that comes from a name of God that overtakes it and overwhelms it and eliminates it. And so we have to know that name. It says, and when you found these three things, you find prayer being answered and salvation manifested. And I love it because it didn't say he will come and he will help you. It said he will hear and he will save. Save brings a whole nother dimension to our comfort and to our place of shelter and to our place of rest. He's going to save. He's going to make every situation around you unaffected by you, unaffected by it, because I have saved you. I have walled you up. I have put my arms around you. I have encamped my angels about. I'll save you. So when you're in the middle of a battle, you want to be saved. You want a victory, but you personally want to be saved. So you can come victorious, but you may come victorious, wounded, and half dead. But he said, I'm going to save you from that situation, from the effects of that situation. When you cry out in your afflictions, and you will hear and save. So in that, in saving, I wish we could understand that save, what save means. And because he didn't say I hear an answer. Because a lot of us do, we just want to answer. But it's not an answer that we need. It is salvation that we need, because that lifts us up beyond our circumstances. And that delivers us to a place that no one and nothing can touch, because we are in the shadow of the wings of the Almighty God. And so that's a different way of just answering my prayer. That's these things. I just answer a lot of people's prayers. But for those that are in relationship with me like this, that have built a sanctuary for my name, for that name that you're calling out, it is going to put you in a place where nothing can touch you. And oftentimes we don't believe that. We just don't believe it. Well, I feel this and I feel that. That's what we feel in the physical. But we need to understand that the spiritual will overpower the physical. And there are some things you won't have to feel in the physical if you allow your spirit man to be in that place of salvation that the Lord is taking us to. But so often it's hard to remain there because our eyes see the physical, which is why he said, don't walk by what you see, but walk by what you believe and your faith in me. Because it will lift you up beyond your circumstances, and they really will not. That's how Stephen was able to be stoned, but looking with joy. Yes, his body was being affected, but his spirit man was soaring. And so that was affecting him physically had no effect on him. Because remember, we are spirit. We're not flesh and blood. We are spirit. And so we have to, as we get closer to God in our relationship, we become more and more understanding of that concept, because it really is something that your flesh mind cannot wrap itself around. It has to be revealed through the Spirit of God. And so he says we are his living temple. His presence and his name dwells within our regenerated heart. And remember, this regeneration comes from the power of a surrendering to the correction and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And so our PowerPoint number 9 was that we should identify the things that are sent to rob us of our inheritance and then invite God to judge our situation and execute judgment against our enemies, which is the satanic forces, and that come to steal, kill, and to destroy. And we've heard that scripture. We've said it. Time to kill, steal, and destroy. But in his prayer, Jehoshaphat he identified what those evil forces were. He called them out by name. And that's what we have to do. That's where that forceful power comes in. When you know the name of your enemy, when you know the authority on the mountain of the family, you know what it is, who he is, you know his name, you know his attributes, you know those things that are associated with him, and you call them out. You identify them, and you tell, invite God to judge it. Judge against your enemies, the satanic force. Notice in this part of the prayer, Jehoshaphat also declared the land of promise was not just their inheritance from the Lord, but it was also God's possession. So in like manner, we should remind our Heavenly Father, what is mine is yours, Lord. My home, my family, my possession, my health, my calling, my purpose, my body, my mind. So I pray you will defend what actually belongs to you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then our point 10 is, it is not detriment. It is not detrimental to faith to acknowledge weakness in the face of a promise, as long as we acknowledge our source of supreme strength. The expectation that God will take up the slack and make up the difference. Even when you are unsure what step to take next, you can affirm your absolute trust in God by saying, I don't know about nothing, but God, my eyes are upon you. In other words, you are saying, Lord, I may not know what to do, but I know you, and I am looking to you for guidance and for a miracle of divine deliverance. Even when the odds appear to be against me, I believe, God, that you are on my side. So I expect to overcome. An expectation. That's what I say. When you give God your expectation, oh, he'll show up. And the higher you make those expectations, the more supernatural his showing up is going to look. And so it says, for a miracle of divine deliverance. Some deliverances are just, they're deliverances. I can save you from getting hit by a car by pulling you off the street, okay? But there are some that are miracles of divine deliverance, you know, and that's just taking God, take you from crossing the street, and you end up sitting in the church. You know, it's that kind of thing, like, whoa, I know God did this. It's that kind of a divine deliverance. And so the more the world sees that, the more the world sees the God and the power of the God that's over our lives. And so a lot of things that we do, and we rejoice in them. We definitely rejoice in them. And they are, you know, God enabling us to do those things for one another. But there are some things that God just needs us to allow. That's why he let their enemy, don't kill these people, because he had a plan. He got a plan, and it had nothing to do with them conquering an enemy, but it had everything to do with them establishing a faith in the living God. And then as it established their faith in the living God, it established fear in the hearts of the enemy of God. And that was the miracle of divine deliverance that the children of Israel saw through King Jehoshaphat as he prayed and the three Gentile army kings were coming against them, pretty much just like his father. And so that brings us really to the end of our chapter 6. I just wanted to get through those points. I encourage you to read The Valley of Blessing. All of his testimonies are very, very powerful and very unique and very interesting, and yet they bring to life those things that we endure. Everybody can associate with having something, you know, a raggedy car and having it do some things that were miraculous. I know a prophet was sharing how, you know, their car broke down. His mama laid hands on it and said, start, and it started. So we can all have some, I can think of one with Apostle. When she came to Chicago, she had $64, and she called me in Cleveland. Mama, what I want to do? I said, I don't know. The only thing I know to do is pray that you don't run out of gas. Okay. I didn't know nothing about Chicago and how big it was, you know, and just how high gas was. But that was all that God gave me, and so that's all I could give to her. And it worked, because for 6 months she didn't run out of gas. And so that $64 did not buy gas for 6 months. And so God will do the miraculous with these cars and with things. No, not just cars, but with things that are important in our journey. And so that's part of this valley of blessings that he shared. But like I say, his testimonies are always so upfront to today's time, where it just lets us know God yet works miracles and yet divinely. I don't know. What's up my phone? Okay. So, anybody, comments, insights, revelations?
Overseer, I just want to say, wow, something you just said, miracle of divine, I just typed it in my new phone. But what was, say it one more time, miracle of divine.
Deliverance.
Deliverance, yes. And of everything, that just speak volumes. And that prayer and everything else. So I just thank God for, I needed to hear that today. Because
amen.
God can be miracle of divine. Yeah, thank you.
Yes, miracles of divine deliverance. Hallelujah.
Deliverance, hallelujah. You can.
Yes, yes, sir. Amen, amen. Anybody else? Okay, okay. All right, we always want to give you opportunity to share any word that the Lord gives you, insights, revelations. This is our Friday from. Okay. All right, then. All right, then we will be going to.
Brittany, my daughter, want to just say she enjoyed it.
Hi, I enjoyed it.
Amen. All right. Welcome, Brittany. We're glad that you shared with us today. Amen. We thank all of our visitors who are no longer visitors. Once you come, you're just part of the fellowship, the Friday Fellowship of Learners. Praise the Lord. Thanking everybody just for, I thank the apostle for blessing us this morning.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. All right, so next week we'll start chapter 7, the prayer of Elijah. The prayer of Elijah. I am excited about this. Let it be known this day that you are God. Yes, and I am your servant. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right, so enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we'll gather again next week. God bless you.
God bless you all.
Yeah, God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen.